Beloved radio friends, we welcome you to the ministry of the greatest book in the universe, the Word of God, as we continue our meditation on the amazing words of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We quote again those words from John chapter 6, verses 53 and 54, saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Feeding upon Christ is our theme from these precious words, in which our beloved Lord speaks of eating and drinking. We lay aside completely any thought of physical eating and drinking. This is not meant by our Lord, but what is meant is that if we would have eternal life, then there must be an eternal dealing with the soul in regard to it. My beloved friend, we usually take good care of our body and feed it regularly. But can I raise the solemn but the serious question? What have you done to feed your soul, which you will take into eternity, my friend? Let me ask the question. I could ask it kindly, how much do you weigh physically? Are you fat or are you thin? But I leave that answer with you. More important, I would ask, how much do you weigh spiritually? Are you absolutely weightless? Are you dying of spiritual malnutrition? And if you happen to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, may I ask, how much does the spiritual man weigh? Are you growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Now, we have noted that the Lord refers to his incarnation in our scripture. And we have sought to cover this wonderful truth of Christ's humanity, the abundant food for the soul to eat, which we'll eat. Now we would consider the second fact. The Lord Jesus refers not only to his incarnation in relation to the flesh of the Son of Man, but to his crucifixion as he speaks of drinking his blood. I am sure that no sensible person acquainted with the gospel of salvation will ever deny that any reference to the Savior's blood does not refer to his sacrificial death on Calvary. Surely, every one of us will certainly realize a reference to his blood must have to do with his atoning death. But how much there is for us to feed the soul when meditating upon the precious blood of Christ? First, consider with me. As the Lamb of God, Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world to redeem us by his precious blood. And this is according to the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Now that is something to feed the soul on. To stop and realize that before our God ever made the world, he purposed to redeem us with the precious blood of Christ. That, my friend, is something for the soul to feed on. I beg of you to eat and drink it in, and keep doing it. Second, when you look through the Bible, God's holy word, you will find a red cord, so to speak figuratively, or perhaps even literally, a red cord of redemption running through the book from Genesis right through Revelation. For the Bible was not written as mere literature, though it can say it consists of some, nor as science, though that can be found in it. But it emphasizes the greatness of the glories of creation, we know, but it is chiefly a book of redemption. For the very moment that sin entered into the world in human history, in Genesis chapter 3, then God began to unfold his plan of redemption for mankind. And it was redemption by blood. Now let me endeavor to show briefly the truth written about this. Here is the text I would present to you from Hebrews 9:22. God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Meaning, without blood being shed, there is no forgiveness of sins. Now, follow this truth with me through the Bible very briefly. First, You'll find the blood in the Garden of Eden, when God covered the nakedness of Adam and Eve. Now, how was it done? Unto Adam, we read, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Genesis 3:21. Right at the beginning of man's sin, a victim, an innocent animal, was sacrificed to provide the covering, which was the very first evidence of redemption by blood. My beloved friend, feed your soul on that. Second, read the history of earliest days, beginning with Cain and Abel. Go down the years of the patriarchs, down through the book of Genesis. How did they approach God for redemption? You know the answer if you've read the book. From Abel and onward, everyone who was redeemed had to bring a sacrifice laid upon the altar and its blood shed. Read the history through Genesis, and you will find out many altars were built. Sacrificial victims were slain. For the principle of redemption remained the same. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now go to the book of Exodus quickly. Chapter 12 particularly. How did God redeem the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt? From the sentence of death and judgment. They took a lamb for a family. It was slain, and the blood of that slain lamb smeared upon the door sides, the sides of the door as well as above the door frame of every house of every Israelite. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And thus they were delivered. Feed, my friend, upon that thought. It points to the death of Christ again, his crucifixion. Note in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, when God laid down his statutes through Moses for the nation of Israel, he repeated the truth of redemption by blood, not alone for the nation, but for individuals, saying, listen to the words, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. My beloved, feed on that. Feed your soul in this, my friend, which also points to the death of Christ. For all through the Old Testament history of Israel, from the book of Exodus, going down through the book of Malachi, redemption by blood is God's theme. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now come with me to the New Testament, please. I want you to think, though we have seen the blood in Eden, for Adam and Eve, and in the lives of the early patriarchs, down to from Abel to Jacob, we have seen the blood in Egypt for a family. We have seen it upon the altars of Israel for the nation. Now we come to the words of John the Baptist when he introduces Christ in John chapter 1, verse 29. Listen to him saying, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. My beloved friend, feed your soul on these words. For this is a sacrifice far superior than all preceding ones. Not for just one couple, not for just one family, not for just one nation, but for the whole world. That, my friend, tells you that Christ died for all. And that includes you, my beloved friend. Something for you to feed upon. But let me go a little further, please. Think very briefly with me of a scene in heaven that is described in the book of the Revelation. Then when in a coming day around the throne of God, many saints will be singing their song of worship to the Lamb that was slain. Listen to them singing that song as they will in that coming day. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood. Revelation 5:9. Now, beloved, I ask you to feed your soul upon this. Eat and drink it in. We have traced the precious blood of Christ from the Garden of Eden. We have come in the last book of the Bible to Revelation and found ourselves in heaven. And the blood in heaven is seen and remembered, cherished, and by all saints, the song of worship rises. Yet I would like to refer to one more text. We have seen the blood throughout the Bible from the Garden of Eden to the book of the Revelation to heaven itself. But I would ask you a question. Can you say to yourself, the blood of Christ is upon me, 'tis over my soul? Please remember that we have said to feed upon Christ must be done personally. Now, have you made all these words personal? Have you applied them to your own soul? Listen to the words of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7. When John writes to state, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. John is writing to the family of God, to every believer in the Lord Jesus, every child in God's family. And he is saying over and covering every one, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed them from all sin. Take in the Savior's words of divine truth. Have you remembered that truth? Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Have you done this, my friend? Have you in your soul appropriated by faith not only the truth of the incarnation of Christ, coming to the earth from heaven to take the form of humanity, to be the perfect, sinless sacrifice that God alone could and did accept on your behalf and mine when he died for our sins? For there is none other. And have you appropriated by faith the blessed work of his crucifixion, that he died for you? My beloved, if you never have, why will you not do it now? To save your soul, he gives eternal life. I hope you are hungering. I hope you are thirsting for it. Then take the Savior's words and eat and drink. Yea, drink abundantly, my beloved. The Savior alone is the bread of life, his precious blood, the cleansing power to save your soul. Oh, my beloved, what are you doing for your soul? Christ has done all that needs to be done to save it. Trust him today. Father, honor thy word and save precious souls in Jesus' name. Amen.